Yes, thank you very much, and thanks to the organizers for inviting me here to this meeting on experiments. I want to report on some experiments that we have been doing in Leiden, and these are experiments that are concerned with the ABC conjecture. So let me take a short moment to remind you of the terminology here. So the ABC conjecture says something about so-called ABC triples, and here you see the definition of an ABC triple. So an ABC triple is a triple of integers, ABC. They have to satisfy these three conditions. They have to sum to zero, they have to be co-prime, and the last condition is the serious one, the so-called radical of ABC, so the product of all prime numbers that divide A or B or C, has to stay below the largest of the three. So this is a very strong condition. If you, for instance, if A, B, and C are all three of them are square free, then the radical here on the left is just going to be the product of the numbers A, B, and C, and the product of the three is probably not going to be smaller than each of them. Okay, so this product of the primes is called the radical, and we denote it by R, and the maximum absolute value, we call it the size, and I sometimes denote it by S. So we consider an ABC triple to be a good triple if the radical is very small compared to S. It is already quite special for R to be less than S, but if it is much lower than S, then we say that it has very high quality. So this is how we measure quality of these ABC triples. And here you see an easy example, which is the smallest triple that we have. All right. So what does the ABC conjecture say? It is a conjecture that surfaced in the mid-80s. Masser on the left and Oesterle on the right. Masser is really the first one to formulate it, and the conjecture essentially says that if you take the limit over all ABC triples, then this quality is going to tend to 1. So I should perhaps say there are infinitely many ABC triples, so it's not so in this limit actually something goes to infinity. And another way to phrase it is that if you fix a number epsilon and you look at all triples with quality more than 1 plus epsilon, where epsilon is positive, then this number of triples is going to be finite. That is an equivalent formulation to what I wrote there. Okay, so that is the ABC conjecture, and it is one of the, probably one of the main open problems in number theory. It is very connected to deep results, conjectures. It implies a lot, which is probably not evidence for it, but it still seems to be consistent with everything we know. So this is from a mathematical point of view, a very interesting statement. Okay, so what are the experimental challenges that we get from this? Well, since the formulation of the ABC conjecture first surfaced, people have been trying to compute examples. So Benne de Weger, also from Leiden, he gave a table of triples of quality at least 1.4 in his thesis, his PhD thesis, under the supervision of Rob Tiedemann, and that has become the traditional sport in this area. Find more triples with quality over 1.4. That is still something that is going on today. I think in the last 3 years there were maybe 20 or so new triples found. The total number now is around 225. But that is not what I want to discuss today. So I want to discuss the two other points that I mentioned here. Mainly the so-called exhaustive search. So let's say you give a bound on this size, How do you generate all ABC triples up to that size? How do you find them? And then there's a new game that we only started this year. These are the so-called unbeaten triples, which I will explain first. Okay, so why would you engage in these experiments? Well, there are several things that you could hope to get out of this. One of the obvious results would be a large data set of such triples. And if you look at equations that people study, Diophantine equations, often solutions give rise to ABC triples. So if there is a database of ABC triples up to some large bound, then you can easily check if your equation has small solutions. Of course, there's the connection with elliptic curves. Perhaps having a large collection of good triples will allow you to generate interesting elliptic curves. Who knows? Okay, the second point I mentioned here is we want to get experimental data to test the heuristics. Of course, the fact that the conjecture is wide open, there's much that we think is true that we cannot prove, but sometimes we want to make our knowledge more precise of what we think is true, even if there is no proof at all. And that is what we can do with these data. Then the third point is just for the fun of doing it. We're doing algorithms. Algorithms are a good thing to study in themselves, and they give rise to many interesting twists and projects. And the last point is really the point that got me involved in this subject. It's the point of science promotion. Me and Hendrik Lenstra and a few other people in Holland figured that after Fermat was proven, we needed a new guiding open problem to draw people towards number theory. And so we wanted to get a problem that is really central in serious mathematics, not something that is simply something that is out of reach of present methods. So the ABC conjecture fits perfectly, or so we thought. And we've been trying to get high school students involved in Holland to make their own ABC triples, take your phone number and your bank account number, add them, perhaps remove the greatest common divisor, which is an interesting computation in itself, and see what quality you get. So that is how our project in Leiden started. Okay. So let me tell you a little bit about what is known. So the ABC conjecture says that this quality, the limit of the quality as you run through your infinite collection of ABC triples is going to be 1. And one question you can ask is how quickly does it tend to 1? So let's define this function Q of n. It's going to be the supremum of the qualities of triples that have at least size n. So this function is a decreasing function, and the claim is that it tends to 1. But it's still an interesting question: how quickly does it tend to 1? Well, first I should mention there is absolutely no upper bound for Q of n. In fact, we don't know that Q of n is finite for a single n, and it is completely out of reach. But we do have some results on lower bounds. So there's the result of Stewart and Tiedemann. And it says, it gives you a bound for the asymptotic growth of this function Q. Okay. Now, as I said, often we think that more is true than what we can prove, and Stewart and Tiedemann have a very specific conjecture as to the actual growth rate of this function Q. It is given here. The expression says that the growth rate is like this, where this O of 1 means that there is a function there that tends to 0. Now, a different way to phrase this is using a different way to measure how good an ABC triple is. If we introduce the merit of an ABC triple by this expression, so remember, if I have an ABC triple, I have an R, which is the radical, and I have my Q, which is the quality. And so this expression, I will take that and define that to be the merit of my ABC triple. Then the statement of Stewart and Tenenbaum is that the lim sup of this merit is 48, which is an amazingly precise statement, I think. And so you can say this is a refined ABC conjecture. This certainly implies that, if you go through your infinite list of ABC triples, R will certainly go to infinity, so the Q will tend to 1. So this is this implies the ABC conjecture, but it is much more precise. So this is a refined ABC conjecture. So they have an argument that even proves this based on reasonable heuristic assumptions on the behavior of the radical. Basically, the rough idea being that if you take the radical of a sum of two coprime integers, then it doesn't depend on the radical of these two integers. That's the rough idea. Okay. So it could be interesting to look at ABC triples of large merit rather than ABC triples of large qualities. And that is what people have been doing over the past few years. And the champion at the moment is merit 35. And one interesting thing to note is that the size here, so the letters are a bit small here, but the size here indicates the number of digits of the largest of the three numbers. So this is a 55-digit triple. That is the current champion on the merit list. I guess from a science promotion point of view, having lists like this is nice. So people send me emails saying that they have found a new one. This summer there was some undergraduate research project in Ohio where they found new triples and emailed them to me. People have some degree of enthusiasm for this. Okay. So the hunt I mentioned before of simply looking for a large quality, Eric Raissat in 87 found the largest quality that we know. What this means is that this function that I was talking about, this Qn, I do have a very explicit lower bound for it when n is up to the size of Raissat's triple. But it doesn't say anything about this function for n bigger than this 23 to the fifth. So what is the best bound that we really have for this Q of n? To make this bound, you can introduce the terminology of triples beating other triples, where I say that your ABC triple beats mine only if it does so in a very convincing way. It has to be both larger and it has to have a higher quality. Okay, so if I take this as a definition, it is not even clear that there are triples that are not beaten by any other, but the ABC conjecture does imply this. However, we can look at all the triples that we know and look at what I call the currently unbeaten triples. And so this is not a mathematical notion. It depends on time, or it depends on the person. It depends on what triples you know. But this this current list is the best lower bound for this function Qn. I started putting this online at the beginning of this year. Here you see a graph. I plot C in a double exponential way. So here I have 10 digits, 100 digits, and 1,000 digits. So that's the size, that's the maximum absolute value of my the integers in my triple, and here I plot the quality. So every time somebody finds a new triple, it will have a size and a quality, and if it's over here, then it beats all the triples that are to the lower left of it. So when I put this online, people immediately started emailing me other triples. Somebody went to about 200 digits. Here there's another method to sort of fill in this middle section. And different people use different methods. I use so the color coding here is for the people who sent them to me. It is interesting to see that people work in these different ranges, and you need to come up with good ABC triples in these different size ranges. You need completely different algorithms. I should also point out these two lines that are plotted here. The top line here is the line of merit 48. That is where we're supposed to be headed. And below, just for reference, I plotted merit 30. So if we would know all triples, then we would think that this function is gonna be between those two lines, or at least above the first one, tending to the top one. But that hasn't panned out yet. However, people were quite excited about this, if you have a list, people will want to get their name on the list. This competition is kind of harsh, because you can be you never know that you are on the list for long. So you always, before you say that you are on the list, you have to check, because maybe you were just beaten, and then you're removed from the list. Okay. Frank Rubin got in a nice chunk, but then later there was a guy from Poland, Jarek Robleski, and he really obliterated everyone else. And he was improving his method, this is where it stands now. Then suddenly people stopped emailing me triples, because now it's no fun anymore. Now Mr. Robleski has almost the whole list, and we really need a new somebody with new courage to improve upon this. So let's see what this looks like now. So here is the list of currently unbeaten triples. On top you see the triple of Reza, the top four is triples that we've known for a long time, and below that these are the newer triples that tend to have a much larger size. So for instance, here's one that I found of 40 digits. Okay. Now at the bottom of this list, there are the triples of Jarek Robleski, and these triples look like this. So here is B and C. The exponents are quite big, and A is the difference of these two. I did not spell it out, because the number of digits here is probably around 2,000, but you can compute it from what's written in the B and C column. If you see this, you can sort of guess what kind of method he uses. I thought maybe he uses LLL, so I asked him, and he said, no, I've never heard of LLL. So I think LLL should be able to do better, but who knows? Okay. So I want to move to this second task on my list of experiments, the exhaustive search. If you give yourself a bound n, how can you find all triples up to n? There's an algorithm for this that works in time n to the power 2/3 plus epsilon. And the idea is really quite simple. You loop over two of them, over A and B, and you make sure that A and then you factor A plus B. If you loop over A and B, you can loop over them in such a way that by generating them, you already know the factorization, so you only have to factor the third one. When I mentioned to Andrew Granville that you can do this in time n to the power 2/3, he was a bit surprised, and then I explained it to him, And he said, oh, you just order the variables. So I like this this phrase. So ordering the variables here, we have three variables and we're looping over two and testing the third. And the two that you should loop over are the ones where you have the fewest number of candidates. And so these are the ones with the smallest radical. So let's sort them in such a way that the radicals are increasing. Then you want to loop over these two and then test for C. Then you have the smallest number. Okay, so you see that if you have these inequalities, this is what you get, and that means that you have a certain search range that we can get in this picture. What I plot here is the logarithm of the radical of A and the logarithm of the radical of B, and my two equations, my two inequalities, mean that I am in this light green area. So what does the algorithm do? For every point in this green area with square free coordinates, you have to find all numbers A and B where the radical of A is the first coordinate and the radical of B is the second coordinate, and you factor A plus B to see if you get a triple. Okay. So we've been doing this, and we figured that we should get many computers involved, and the original motivation was not to get this done as quick as possible, but to get people involved, to get the Dutch high school students involved after they're finished with their phone numbers and bank account numbers. They can turn on their computers and search for triples in this way. So there is a platform for this, for distributed computing. It's called BOINC, the Berkeley Open Infrastructure for Network Computing. And this is a huge system. If you just look at these numbers here, they currently have 300,000 volunteers, and the total system, all these computers together, they run at 2 petaflops, 2400 teraflops, which is a huge number. Of course, if you divide it by 100,000, it's still a huge number. In my next slide, I will say a little bit more about that. Here you see a list of projects that participate in BOINC. So at the top is the SETI at home, which is the main one. That's what got BOINC started. But there are several others, and we are sort of in there next to the BBC Climate Prediction project. And we get about 2% of this whole pool of computers. So this slide, I think John Borwin put it up as well. This shows the top 500 supercomputers, and if you compare the amount of teraflops that computer number 500 currently has, well, I think we are around 50, so we beat about probably half the list just by signing up to BOINC, and it's completely free. Quite amazing. Okay, so let me show you a little bit of the data that we get from this. Here you see the triangle that I have over here. And these are the triples that we found up to, I believe, 4 × 10^13. If there are more triples, then the pixel will be colored more light. This picture gives you an idea of how the density of these triples is distributed over this search triangle. The thing that I find striking I would have expected the triples to be up a bit higher. These radicals, the area where you have the most triples, the radicals are still quite small of the first two. Of course, the qualities of most triples is very close to one. You're not going to get many of quality 1.2. So it means that here the radical, the smallest two radicals are about the fourth root of n of our bound, and and the largest is about root n. That's what it seems to suggest. Of course, the question is, is this just something? Well, how does this behave when you change the size? So here is a. Oh, okay. So first, I want to change the quality. So the first picture was the location of all triples of quality at least one. But if you let the quality go up, then where are they located? Oops. Let me. Okay. So we're going to increase the quality, and the location of these triples is apparently moving down, which it should, of course, because these radicals have to get smaller. And then at some point, well, they sort of evaporate. Now we're getting close to quality over 1.4. There's very few of them. And there are a few that really hold out bravely. And I guess this is the one of Reza. So that's the last one to go. So this is the distribution in terms of quality. So these are all triples up to 4 times 10 to the 13 with this bound on the quality and their location in this triangle. I guess there's a similar phenomena even for these higher qualities, that the bulk of the triples, they are not at the highest possible points. It's only part of the way. So let me, in the next animation, I look at quality over, I look at all triples, but I decrease the bound. This goes quite quickly. But the thing I'm looking for here is, where is this white blob, and is the location of this white blob perhaps moving up as the size increases? So that was that's our triple, 1 plus 8 is 9. And here we are increasing again. Okay, so now this data set goes up to, like I said, 10 to the 13. We really planned on going a lot further than this. So there are some recent improvements. The nicest one is that we now use a sieve to simultaneously factor many of these numbers a plus b, rather than factoring them individually with the Pollard method, and that has been a huge speed up. And in fact, the implementation that we have now is at least a factor of 1,000 faster than the implementation that we had before, that we also had running on this Boing project. And we were starting to feel a little bit bad because we once made a computation of how much people are spending on electricity to contribute CPU cycles, and it was a couple of hundred thousand dollars. And so if we have thought of this algorithm before, it would only be a couple of hundred. But of course, actually this is not the right comparison, because if we hadn't done this, then they would have just been looking for aliens using SETI at home. Now we have this improved version running. So this is the graph that goes all the way up to 10 to the 18, but it's only a partial result. We have only searched the triples satisfying some additional conditions. Conditions that were built in for to make the implementation faster. But again, I think it is quite remarkable that this white blob is quite a bit below the point where the three radicals are equal, because if the three radicals were equal, that would have been way over here. So that is something to think about. So I'll leave it at this. Thank you very much.